Amen, amen. Hey, hug somebody's neck or shake their hand and you can be seated this morning. Thanks, Jake. Whoa, let me just say welcome to Bethel this morning, man. We're so glad all of you got up early and chose to come worship with us. Hey, let's not only be thankful for everybody that's here, let's put our hands together and be thankful for everybody that's watching online. Let them know we love them and appreciate them this morning. So, man, welcome, man. We're so excited you're here today. What a great day to come to the church and to celebrate. How many know the church needs to learn to celebrate just a little bit sometimes? To celebrate, have a good time. So we're here for Baptism Sunday, and those are always great, great moments, great services. Our theme for this year at Bethel has been this. It's been exceeding. How many of you know we serve a God that wants to exceed what he's already done in your life? Sometimes I feel like we see God move and God does these great and mighty things and he raises us up to the next level and we feel like that's where we're going to stay from now on. But God is always moving and God is always working and God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that you and I can ask or imagine. And that's the kind of God that we serve. What does it mean to be exceed? To be exceeding. It means this. It means to surpass. It means to excel or to be superior. I just want you to know, if you take nothing else away from here today, God wants to do something superior in your life. God wants to do something superior. So today, before we get to the actual word of God, talking about exceeding, let me ask you a question. Can we be real second service today? How many of you married into a crazy family? Just go ahead and raise your hands. I did not do that, but Jennifer did. She married into a crazy family. And so you know what? I married into a great family. I married into a family that I love and admire and respect, a family, a husband and wife that raised some kids and taught them the word of God. And so I'm very thankful for my married family, for my in-laws. And I really exceeded in that area. And so I just want to take a minute and say today that I wouldn't be where I am without my wife and without her family. Her dad's been a great, good, and godly man that's honored God for a lot of years. And today is his 97th birthday. And so I just want to take a minute and honor him. So thank you for celebrating with us on that. So today we're going to discuss a moment from Scripture that is very, very exceeding. In my mind, it's one of the most exceeding pictures of our God in the entire Bible. How many of you know that our God that we serve is a Trinitarian God? I heard those words a lot when I was growing up in church, but nobody really ever explained that to me. They just threw that word out there, the Trinity. And so I want to take a minute and just go over briefly what that means, that God is a Trinitarian God. And basically, it means this, that he's one God with three parts. He's one God with three parts. When you read the Bible, when you study Scripture, you see that God the Father is sitting on the throne in heaven. He has been on the throne. Beside him, there is no other. He's been on the throne since the beginning of time. God the Father created everything, and at the certain time, he knew he needed to send his Son, Jesus Christ, who would come down, and he would dwell on this earth for 33 years. He would live a sinless life. He would be falsely accused. He would be arrested, beaten, and ultimately murdered, and he would shed the blood that would forgive you and I and redeem us from the curse. And then Jesus lived on this earth. When he was risen from the dead, he ascended, the Bible says, to the right hand of the Father. And he said these words, I will not leave you without help. I will not leave you without power. I will not leave you without the Comforter. When I get to the Father, I will send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will empower you. The Holy Spirit will walk with you and guide you every day of your life. Our God is a Trinitarian God, one God, three parts. The picture that we're going to look at in Scripture today, we're going to see all three parts of God in one scene. We're going to see all three parts of God in one moment. This is the only time in Scripture you're going to see all three of them show up at the same moment. And this scene is going to all be wrapped around baptism. It's going to be wrapped around baptism. Here is the Scripture. We're going to read it. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. And the Scripture says this, And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened up, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming to rest on him. Verse 17 says, and behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus had gone out to the area of the Jordan River. His cousin, John the Baptist, was baptizing people in the Jordan River. Jesus is walking out there, and as he comes up over the banks of the Jordan River, John the Baptist sees him, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Jesus then walked down into the cold, muddy waters of the Jordan River, and John, his cousin, and baptized him. And we believe this, that Jesus was baptized through immersion. He was taken under the water because the scripture said when he came up out of the water. What an awesome moment. John the Baptist baptizing the Son of God. And when he comes out of the water, the Bible says this, that the heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit fell down in the form of a dove, landed on Jesus. And then the voice of God the Father from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. An exceeding picture of all three parts of our God. What an epic moment. What a special moment. What a memorable moment. Baptism. I want to say this right quick because I think it's so important. We love to celebrate baptism, and people love to be baptized, but we do not believe that baptism is necessary for salvation. You need to know that. You need to understand that. There is only one thing that is necessary for our salvation and for our forgiveness of sin. There is only one thing that can redeem us. There is only one thing that can purchase us out of the hand of the enemy. There is only one thing, and it is the precious crimson blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It's the only thing. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me give you some scripture to prove that to you. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Baptism is not necessary for salvation, but we believe this. If it pleased God the Father that his only Son, Jesus, went under the waters of baptism, we believe that it pleases God when you and I go under the waters of baptism. When we follow Jesus' example, when we do what he did. Baptism is such a precious thing. It's a precious thing. And you know what the enemy loves to do in our lives and in the lives of all of the churches? The enemy loves to bring division. Because the Bible says that a house divided against itself shall not be able to stand. And we have this precious gift of baptism that God has given us so that we can remember that we were buried like Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. We have this precious thing of baptism. And you know what the enemy has done? He's got churches and denominations fussing over baptism. We're divided over it. There's some churches that say you got to be dunked. There's some churches that say you got to be sprinkled. There's some churches that say if you don't go under the waters of baptism, you are not going to be saved. It's something that has divided the church over all these years. But here's what I'm going to go ahead and step out on a limb and say. The God that I serve and the God that sent his only begotten Son to pay the price for you and I, when you and I get to the pearly gates of heaven, he is not going to ask us, were we sprinkled, dunked, or sprayed, and decide if he's going to let us in heaven or not. He's going to say, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And if you say yes, he's going to say, enter into the joy of the Lord. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Baptism is something that's divided us. But on the other hand, baptism is something that unites us. It unites us because have a baptism at your church. Have a baptism at the crazy cowboy Assembly of God Pentecostal church with the crazy skull sign on it out there. And the Church of Christ will show up to celebrate baptism. and the Baptists will show up to celebrate baptism, and the non-believers will show up to celebrate baptism. It has divided us in one area, but in another area, it's brought us together and say, let's celebrate someone being born again. Baptism is such a sacred moment. I've been doing this for 25 years, and I've been so blessed to be a part of so many baptisms. Some of the most memorable ones for me are my own kids, man. My own kids, getting to baptize them and just see how it's changed their life. And so I was at a meeting this week with some friends, some people that come to church here, met with a father and a mother of their young son that's going to be baptized today. We were talking about life, and we were talking about our place, and we were talking about where we live and how great God's been to us. And the father said to me, but nothing is greater than watching my son accept Jesus Christ and go under the waters of baptism. What a sacred moment that's going to be today as a father stands by the trough and watches his son go under the waters of baptism like Jesus. Sacred moment, special moment. I tell you about my baptism. And nobody here knows this story except my family and Colt Wood back there. But when I got baptized, we were going to Wiley Baptist Church. It's where I grew up going to church, and I remember I was ready to get saved and give my life to Christ, and I talked my mom and my grandmother into letting me walk down the aisle on a Wednesday night because I didn't want to do it in front of the big crowd on Sunday morning. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I went to the front, and I gave my life to Christ, and so it was set up for me to get baptized. And so the Sunday that I was going to get baptized, we had to go to church early, meet with a preacher. He was going to explain everything to us, and we met in his office, and we talked a little bit. And then he said this. He said, let's go look at the baptistry. And it was one of them fancy churches that has a baptistry built in. It wasn't a water trough. Come on, somebody. But we go back there, and we're so excited. It's about an hour before service. It's one of them. You can set it where it will fill up, and the water's warm. And we walk in there to the baptistry, empty. No water in it. And you know what? Wiley Baptist, they were just a little, they were pretty stiff. You know what I mean? But everybody got a little redneck in them. Come on, somebody. And so the preacher's like, oh, my gosh, this thing takes 4 hours to fill up. What are we going to do? And he started thinking. He said, hey, they just put a brand-new firehouse down the road on Buffalo Gap Road. Let me call the fire station down there. And he called the fire station down there, and he said, hey, we got family showing up. We're going to have a baptism. I ain't got no water. Can you help me out? They said, we'll be right there. All of a sudden, the big red fire truck come pulling in by Wiley Baptist Church. Them firemen grabbed that hose in the door, around the corner, up over the steps, and they run that baptistry full of water over there. Can I tell you, they don't fight fire with purified water. It looked like an old stock tank in that baptistry in there. There was squigglies all over the tops. Didn't smell the best either. But we got our white robes on. We had those white robes you had to wear where you looked really saintly and angelic when you got baptized. Had little weights on the bottom where they would sink, you know. So we get in there. I remember stepping in that water. It hit me like that because that water wasn't warm. It was cold. I remember stepping down into that water, and as the water began to rise up, and that preacher grabbed me and dunked me in that dirty, mucky, mucky water. But I'm telling you something about this. When I came up out of that water, there wasn't a dirty feeling on me anywhere. I wasn't worried about the smell. I felt cleansed and I felt new. It was a moment that I'll never, ever forget. I'll go ahead and tell you the rest of the story. My granddad had told me. He said, Pard, that was my nickname. He said, Pard, when you get through getting baptized tonight, we're going to town and we're going to celebrate. I'm going to take you to Baskin Robbins ice cream. 31 flavors. Come on, somebody. I said, you know what I'm going to have? I'm going to have a hot fudge sundae with Jamocha almond fudge ice cream. We walked out of Wiley Baptist Church to get in my grandmother's silver 1978 Caprice Classic car. I'm telling y'all, I remember this night. It was the fanciest car we'd ever had. It had electric windows, electric locks, and a cruise control. And just for you youngsters, not every car used to come with a cruise control. You had to pay extra for it. And I remember as we go to get in that Caprice Classic and we go to get ready to go to Baskin Robbins ice cream, I said to my granddad, even the stars look brighter tonight, granddad. It was a special, special moment for me, something that I will never, ever forget. I'm going to go ahead and say this. As a pastor, I've got to see so many of you get baptized. One that I remember specifically is Jack Rollins. Jack Rollins, when Jennifer and I came to Bethel 25 years ago, there was an elderly lady that went to church there here. Her name was Florence Ridenour. Florence hated me and I hated her for a little while. We learned to love each other and we learned to get along on the same page. And Florence always prayed for her kids and her grandkids to come to church. And none of them would ever come. And you know what? Florence died about 10 or 15 years ago. But a couple of years ago at this church, her grandson, Jack Rollins, showed up at this church. Her grandson, Jack Rollins, showed up at this church, and Jack Rollins gave his life to Jesus Christ. And through a father giving his life to Jesus Christ, his wife did, and his two children did as well. And I'm telling you, a sacred moment for me and for this church was watching Jack get baptized, and then Jack stepping up as the spiritual leader of his home and baptizing his wife and baptizing his two children as well. Special sacred moments, baptism. Let me give you some more scripture about the meaning of baptism, about the meaning of baptism, what it represents. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. The Apostle Paul says this in verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Water baptism, it represents, it's been talked about and called for years, a water grave, where when you go under the water, it's like a grave, and you go under the water one way, but when you are raised up out of that water grave, you are raised up different. You are raised up to walk like Christ. Let me go a little deeper. How many of you remember that when Jesus was arrested, he was nailed to an old rugged cross? He had to carry his own cross to the top of Calvary Hill, where he died on the cross, where he shed the blood. The Bible says that he gave up the ghost. He was a dead man. They took him off the cross as a dead man and buried him in a tomb. And on the third day, something was happening on the inside of that tomb that we couldn't see on the outside of the tomb. And at the appointed place and the appointed time, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. The stone rolled away, and Jesus came out different than he went into the grave. He went into the grave as the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. But when he came out, no longer was he the lamb that was slain now. He was the lion of the tribe of Judah. He was the king of all kings. He was the savior of the world. Just like Jesus went in the grave one way and came out another way, we can now identify with Christ as we go under the water one way and we come up to walk in newness of life. What a great moment. I want to take a minute and I want to say this for those folk that are fixing to be baptized today. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and be dismissed. Miss Gigi is at the back. She's standing at the back. You can go back, change your clothes, and prepare to be baptized today. As they go, I want to challenge the rest of you with one more thing. How many of you know baptism should be a celebration? It should be a celebration, a time of joy. I want you to see what happens in heaven when someone gets saved. Luke 15:10 says this. Luke 15:10 says this. Count on it. That's the kind of party God's angels throw every time one lost soul turns to God. Can I tell you that in heaven, when somebody gets saved, they're having a party and a celebration? How shouldn't you and I want to join in with heaven and have a little old party and have a little celebration for what God has done in our midst? I'm going to challenge you today. Worship team is going to come. Worship team, you can come on up. Worship team is going to come up, and they're going to lead you in some worship. They're going to lead you in some songs before we come in to be baptized. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Where you and I praise God, God's presence comes down and fills that place up. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to challenge you. Think about what God has done in your life. Think about what God has done in the lives of the people that are going to be baptized today. And I'm going to ask you this, worship with everything you got, so that when they crack those back doors and those people come in here, the power and the joy and the love of God hits them and overwhelms them. They're going to come in, they're going to line up, and we're going to baptize them. And here's the way we do it at Bethel. When they go under the water, when they come up, how many know when you go underwater, your hearing is impaired a little bit? And you know what we want to do? When they come up out of the water and the water washes out of their ears, the first sound that we want them to hear is the body of Christ celebrating with them, cheering them on, letting them know that we're all in this together and that God is going to do exceeding things in your life. That today is not the end, but today is the beginning of a new life for these men and women. I'm going to challenge you to rejoice, celebrate with them. I'll ask you one more thing before I close. As we prepare for these celebration moments, I would challenge you to contemplate. Would you just bow your heads? Let's do it this way. I would challenge you to contemplate salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. I would challenge you. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we can't attend church enough to make ourselves right with God. We can't give enough money. We can't do enough good things. There's only one way: faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you're overwhelmed by sin and shame and condemnation and poor choices, but you say today, I don't want to carry this anymore, Cody. I'll say to you, well, that's the gospel. That's good news, because Jesus will carry it for you. He'll forgive you and make you new. He'll promise you eternal life in heaven. So I'm going to ask you, as we begin to celebrate baptism today, if there's any of you that have never accepted Christ, but you say, today, I want to do that. I'm not carrying this anymore. If you want to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior today, would you just raise your hand right now? Nobody's looking around. God bless you. I see a couple right there. Anybody else? We got time. We're here to celebrate. Somebody, hey, Stephen. Anybody else? Hey, we got some more over here. Somebody, hey, Will Robinson, come right here, please, sir. My left, your right. We got a young man in the back, Billy. Will, right here in front of. We'll wait on eternity. We'll wait on eternity to be saved. Hey, Will, grab that guy right there, would you? Somebody talk to this guy. He's got his hand raised right there. Yeah. Somebody be the church. Be the church right here. Cole's got them. Anybody else? If I don't get anybody else to come, look, just look around. If you're a leader, you've been following Christ for a while, look around, be the church, lead somebody to Christ. You guys can feel free. You can take them out in the foyer if you want to talk to them. Take them to my office. You can pray with them right where you are. It doesn't matter. But I'm going to tell you, church, we're about to celebrate about 16 or 18 baptisms. But before we get to that, we just ought to celebrate about 5 or 6 people giving their life to Jesus Christ today and eternity being changed. I don't know what else to do but pray and go find some folk to dunk in the water. Holy Spirit, we love you and we thank you for today. Thank you for moving in our midst. Thank you, Father, for our salvation. Lord, I pray today as we get ready to celebrate, Lord, I pray that you would return the joy of our salvation unto us. Maybe there's some people in this room that were joyously serving you and following you, but maybe they've been through life and they've been through some hard times and they've been struggling a little bit. Lord, I pray today you would just pierce their hearts and you would give them joy. Once again, joy unspeakable. Let the next 15, 20 minutes of this service, let it be a celebration in heaven and let it be a celebration in this place. Lord, we love you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, stand up on your feet. And